Well, you know, it's interesting. I was listening to one of the interviews, and you called MySpace one of the most worthless things on the internet. But as a lot of people listeners know, I started a spinoff show recently from Hacker Public Radio, and I actually advertised in two ways. I advertised with Google AdWords and by sending out friend requests on MySpace.
Right. Okay.
And the friend requests on MySpace worked a heck of a lot better and cost me nothing.
Wow.
So that's where I said, wow, this is amazing. I said, this is really, really an interesting thing. I got interested in MySpace when my nieces went on years ago. You know, they hit 12 and went on, you know, to meet their high school friends. And I went there on to kind of, like, watch over the shoulder and try to set a good example and stuff. So I learned their system. But then I said, yeah, you know, I need to find, you know, a bunch of Linux heads. They're the people most likely who want to listen to what I have to offer. So I went to MySpace, and I found a group called Linux Geeks and began sending out, like, 50 invitations a day by hand.
Wow.
That was, like, burnout. So I eventually got down to 10. I figured out what I could do every day. And I made my homepage. I insert HTML as a link to every show I ever did for HPR. And so I just sent friend requests, and people who were interested looked at my profile, would click something interesting, and I got more and more people listening. You know, so I was like really amazed. I thought that was a very powerful thing.
Well, you know, Mike, I'm wondering, and I mean, that is cool, and that is, it's so, I mean, because I remember that MySpace was kind of originally, the way I'd heard of it was that bands, a lot of indie bands, you know, had a MySpace, and every time you'd say, oh, cool, how can I hear some of your music? Like, if you met them at a party or something, they'd always say, oh, it's myspace.com/, you know, whatever. So, I mean, I guess it still is a valid way of advertising. But I'm just wondering if social networking, quote-unquote, is even a new phenomenon, or has it been around since the Internet began? I don't really know the history of it that well.
I don't know. I think MySpace was the original, as far as I can tell.
What about forums, Deep Geek? I mean, what about, like, the BinRev forum, you know? I mean, it's been around I don't know how long. But, I mean, people jump on there. They're like, you know, hey, I'm working on this project. You know, people meet each other there, stuff like that. I mean, isn't that kind of social networking?
You know, it would be if people on the BinRev forums were more into setting up their profiles to I guess you would call it a beacon, Klaatu, you know, or keywords. I don't know what the right phrase would be.
Mm-hmm.
But something that lets people know, you know, who are looking for like-minded people to come in and find you, as opposed to going out and just broadcasting. Because we all broadcast stuff on the web every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, our podcasts are going out to people we don't know who they are. You know, and it's just random, no feedback. You know, most of the time. You know, and the ability to actually have the computer out there pair you off correctly, I think, is a key to understanding what this is like. You know, because if you want to see the who's who of Linux geeks on MySpace, you would look at my friend list, and then you
right.
could, if you were looking for people interested in Linux, you could just go through that.
Okay, so the definition of a social networking site, in your mind, is a place where you can, like, seek out new people, sort of. Well, I guess network, right? I mean, you find someone through someone else. Totenkopf, what would be a fair is that a fair definition, or do you have something different in mind for social networking requirements?
Well, personally, I think that BBSs would be a great example of old school social networking because,
right.
you know, you go there to interact with people with similar interests and ideas and values and such. And I think MySpace is just, you know, the Web 2.0 manifestation of that.
I think I agree with Totenkopf, Deep Geek. I don't think there has to be a certain framework set up. I think that if you're networking and it's online, that's part of the phenomenon, I think.
Yeah, it reminds me of when I was, I founded a news group on Usenet for Freemasons.
Hmm.
And I met a lot of those people in real life. And so, yeah, I guess it is a 2.0 manifestation. But one thing that I find interesting, though, is I find myself turning to it more and more as I find Google to be less and less useful.
Yeah.
You know, because I recently also became a member of what's called memestreams.net. This is a social networking site. I think it's been around for quite a while. I mean, I found out about it from listening to the old BinRevs. And what they do is everyone has a RSS feed, and everyone posts the news stories they find on the web. And then, you know, when you declare that you're interested in a story, the website remembers whose links you're following. And the next time you come back, it gives you those first, and you get this like personalized newspaper. It's really interesting, and you're using people you never met as filters, as opposed to letting Google do everything.
What's the name of the site again? Meme Streams.
Meme Streams. MEME.
Okay.
STREAMS.net. That's a good one. I was thinking the other day, because I'm reading books on the topic, and I was thinking we really need one of these things, something like this, for book reviews, people who write their own book reviews of what they've read. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, everyone who wants to sell something puts up something on that Google indexes. But to, like, you know, follow someone and think that they have a similar taste as you have and get their feed on it. That's
well,
what I think is really valuable.
There's a site called Goodreads.com, and it's actually a social networking site, I think.
Yeah.
And you go there, and you can make friends with people who read similar books that you do. You can read their reviews. You can suggest books to them and vice versa.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Goodreads, that sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I'll have to check that one out.
Actually, I think I'm on there too.
Okay, yeah, we should exchange information or something after the show and
do you guys use your handles on as your usernames typically? Or
typically, I use my handle. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So maybe I have a chance of finding you then.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. What do you guys think about Dig? Everyone has an opinion on Dig, right?
I unfortunately. I think that anything like that kind of site, it becomes like this sort of tool of big corporations that do quote-unquote viral marketing, and they go on and they push a story to the top or whatever they need to do. Either that or just the stupid internet public dominates, and they just they get the stupidest stories up at the top of Dig, you know, and it's just, I don't know, I don't take much stock in it.
Yeah, same here. I don't frequent Dig at all. Or I don't really trust anything that's been dug multiple times by, you know, 17, 18-year-old girls that think this is the bomb.
But I thought the advantage was that you could just avoid those particular users and just have users that you had similar things in with.
Oh, really?
I don't see any. I always heard people say, I say MySpace, people say, oh, you're on, not Facebook, and they say, oh, MySpace is just a bunch of I'm like, I don't see that. I mean, once in a while, I just send their friend request away and never hear from them again. I don't know what the big deal is.
That's a good point. Maybe we're not wrangling our social networking as much as we could.
Right.
And I didn't know that about Dig either. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
I found that our friend Enigma actually has a Dig account, but he doesn't seem to have accessed it in quite a while. You know, Hacker Public Radio itself has like 75 digs.
75, that's all?
Well, you know, not everyone who listens digs, I guess.
Like me.
It's weird. I mean, I had the same effect with meme streams. I found Stank Dog's dormant account. It's like all of a sudden he just drops off the face of the earth. It's weird, but...
Okay, I think that's a sub-phenomenon of the social networking phenomenon, though, is that you sign up with it, you are super active for, like, a good 3 months straight, possibly, you know, 5 if you have a job and can access the internet on the job. And then something changes and you never go there again.
Or you don't visit it like every couple of months.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think I have a MySpace. I don't remember email or anything. It's kind of terrible.
You know what's really, really creepy? Going back on MySpace after not being on for a while was I had a few alternate identities I forged, and when I began searching for Linux geeks, I found one and it was still there, and I was like, whoa, that's so weird, you know. Tone Cuff, you know, before you joined, we were talking about Klaatu's fake ID episode on HPR. You know, it's a lot easier on a social network site.
Well,
okay, yes, I do have a MySpace.
You found yourself on MySpace?
I just found it. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Time to recover that password and reintegrate yourself.
Exactly. Especially with DEF CON coming up.
Yeah, exactly.
So you know what I'd like to know is what's the difference, what's the real difference between MySpace and Facebook?
I don't think there are any anymore.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't think there are. I mean, not really.
Especially with, you know, Facebook just making it so you can have your username at the end of the URL. I mean, MySpace has been doing that for 5-6 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so is it like, you know, just a typical geek religious war, like Emacs versus VI, you know, MySpace versus Facebook?
So.
There's a lot less religious than that, but it's probably similar, yeah. I mean, Facebook now, is, as far as I can tell, is just a bunch of quizzes. Like, they want you to take quizzes, your friends took a quiz, see how you take the quiz and see how you compare to your friends, and you see all of your friends' friends and their quiz results. It's bizarre. It's just like a whole bunch of spam again.
I think the only quiz I took was the personality, the psychological personality profile thing was the only one I ever did. Otherwise, I'd be like, do you want to take a quiz? Well, actually, no.
Right, yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why I come on here with a handle instead of a real name, and I don't want to drop any docs on myself particularly, so I prefer not to. You know, but that's something that you know. I know you missed the last Hope conference, Klaatu, but they had a PI speaking, and he was talking about how much easier his job became because of MySpace.
Yeah, I'll bet.
You know, because people just publish so much about themselves and pictures of themselves, and he was like, what do I have left to do? I mean, you want to know about somebody? I saw it MySpace. I was like, wow.
Well, yeah, I was involved in a documentary project not too long ago, and it was ongoing. And in the course of it, some kid had run away from home, and on his MySpace page, you could see like where in the country he was just by the people who would post comments on his MySpace saying it was great to see you, you know, like thanks for stopping by or whatever. And they literally found the kid from his MySpace. I mean, literally just tracking his progress out to this hippie fest or wherever he was headed by the way that people were commenting on his MySpace. This is not
the way to forge a new ID in America. I don't know, Klaatu. What you bring up is really, really interesting because I always thought there was something so interesting about when I was young, I thought it was so interesting. You heard these stories about these guys who would, you know, tell their wives they're going out for a pack of cigarettes and just disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now we're at the point where forging a new identity isn't just something for college guys who want to get a drink anymore.
Right.
Now we all kind of forge an online identity.
Correct.
You know, willfully.
Yeah.
It's like a commonplace thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's so different than 3 decades ago. That's so shockingly different. I think if I was at like a conference in Manhattan again, and people walked up to me and said, "Hey, Deep Geek," and like my mother's standing next to me, I think she'd like fall over.
Yeah, it's really weird having people from older generations see how, especially people within the hacker community, interact with each other. Like, I remember the look on my dad's face when he first heard someone refer to me as Totenkopf, and he's like, what, they just calling you? He calls me that every now and then, so I'm like, okay, stop. You know my docs. It's okay.
Well, it's funny because Klaatu and I both listen to Lug Radio. And I remember their last episode, the very last episode, they said maybe the guys who use handles on the internet were right, you know, because something gets out on the internet, it's out there forever.
Mm-hmm.
And something gets out there in MySpace, and it's out there forever. And you have to worry about, like, you know, applying for a job and having your MySpace profile checked and being asked questions about during a job interview. Who needs that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people would, lately, people have been asking me, you know, why are you this name on Facebook? Like, what's that all about? Why don't you use your real name? Things like that. I was just, the thought never occurred to me to use my real name. You know, it's just like, obviously I wouldn't use my real name.
Right. And it's really weird when you have to start creating multiple accounts, you know,
right.
One for your real name,
right.
One
yeah,
for
exactly.
your handle, because
yep.
I don't want everybody that I meet
yeah.
at a con to find
exactly.
me on Facebook. But,
yep.
you know, the ones that I'm friends with, I'm like, here, have my real name.
Well, I actually had two genders on MySpace for a while, you know, because like I said, my wife asked me to look over my niece's shoulder. What better way than to approach them as a 12-year-old girl?
Right.
Right.
You know, they don't have to know. Of course, I got to tell you, it was really, really weird having high school kids just send me friend requests out of the blue, and I just was like, oh, yuck. This is what girls have to deal with all the time. This is horrible. You know?
That is an interesting that's interesting, yeah.
Well, you know, people think it sounds very stalkerish, and it's. I mean, I suppose if it wasn't because of the motive, my motive was honorable in doing it. I guess if it wasn't an honorable motive when I did it.
Well, sure.
You know, it would be stalkerish, but
mm-hmm.
that's been going on as long as the internet. You know, this is a picture of me in an email has always been like, yeah, sure.
Right.
Right.
I think I used my same profile picture I used as on the BinRev forums on MySpace. I don't want anyone to associate what I actually look like to my online persona.
Right.
So two things I found, because I was trying to talk about Facebook, which I'm not a member of, and one is that I tried to log on to Facebook, and it had a problem with me trying to use the word geek as my last name.
Ah, yeah.
It rejected that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to use my real name. So the other thing that's really weird is that if you ever search Facebook for, like, old college buddies, and it comes up, and, like, first of all, you know where in the world they live now. All of a sudden, you realize they went back to some country, right? And then it says, and if you want to communicate with them, you have to join Facebook.
Yeah.
What's this, blackmail? You must become a member to communicate with an old friend? How'd that happen?
Well, at least it's not like, what is it? Oh my goodness! What's the name of that? It's a website that.
Oh, are you talking about
your book site?
Yeah, the. Oh man, what is that stupid site? It's like.
Classmates.com.
Yeah.
Here we go. Classmates.com.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
that, except for, you know, we don't have to pay.
Yeah.
People pay for this stuff.
No, seriously, Classmates.com. I think charges an annual fee.
Wow, an annual fee just to get a divorce from your wife when you find an old flame. Every time I hear about Classmates.com, it's always the next thing I hear about is someone's getting divorced.
I hadn't heard that, but yeah, I can see that.
You know, I mean that, you know, my history in high school, I don't want to ever know anyone I went to high school with ever again.
Oh, yeah, no. I know. Me neither.
You know, those were the
best. I mean, that's why they have reunions, right?
Right.
We can decide
yeah, really.
Whether or not we want to show up to those and rub it stuff into their faces.
Right, exactly.
I had a friend call me up the first time they had a high school reunion, and he said, come on, we'll put on good suits and jewelry, and we'll brag about what we're doing.
Uh-huh.
And I said, John, I said, if you ever see me heading toward a high school reunion and I have a briefcase, you better run because there's a bomb in it. Okay? He was like, okay, I won't ask you this again. I said, thank you.
Yeah.
High school reunion.
Yeah, great way to relive all the old nightmares. Not,
oh, right.
not cool.
It's weird because I get emails from random people throughout the week and month, and they're like, oh, so-and-so's pregnant, so-and-so is getting married. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, way to piss in the genetic pool.
Wow. I'm glad you
like, No, seriously. Anigma and I are both from the Tampa Bay area in Florida, and it's just full of people that should not reproduce.
yeah, I know the type.
Like, I want to forcefully revoke their privileges.
Oh boy, round table number three. We tried to talk about social networking, and now we're talking about eugenics.
Well, that's what happens when you leave only three people on a round table.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah,
man, I wish
yeah.
the other guy showed up.
I sent, oh, cool. Okay, we might have somebody else coming. I posted something on Twitter seeing if anybody else wanted to join in.
Okay, good. So, Ashley, how could we have missed Twitter? Speaking of Twitter, I mean...
Oh, yeah, that's a huge one.
That's the successor of all the others, I guess. I mean, everyone's all about Twitter now.
Yeah, it's weird how these things come and go into fashion, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, they are providing essentially the same service. I mean, if you talk about Facebook and MySpace, they're essentially providing the same thing. You know, Tonkoff already said that. They're getting identical.
Yeah.
Now, I think the only difference is with Twitter is that you're restricted to 140 characters or something.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. They make you do short little posts.
Right.
And aren't they supposed to be primarily for mobile devices too?
More or less, yeah.
I have a list of friends whose emails convert into pages at my website, and I can't imagine, you know, that's enough for me. I can't imagine just having twits coming to my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've
used it. It's very annoying. I had to stop it.
Yeah, you tried it? So tell us about your Twitter experience, Tonkoff.
Well...
You just became the expert on Twitter here.
Yeah, exactly, because I do not speak for Twitter.
Well, I installed the application on my BlackBerry, right? And the one that I'm using is Twitterberry, and it's set up to alert you every time that it refreshes and there's updates, but you can set the refresh rate. Well, I'm following a lot of people. So every 2-3 minutes, my phone's vibrating, and I'm thinking I'm getting an email or a call. No, it's Twitter. So it's kind of very annoying, but when I'm on the go, like... DEF CON and Nauticon, Twitter came in very handy because I was able to find out who was where, doing what talks were, you know, worth going to see.
That's cool.
That's really interesting.
As a matter of fact, the founders at Nauticon hooked up us a projector screen, and that displayed all of the tweets that had something to do with Nauticon.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was pretty cool. So we could
yeah.
find out who was having breakfast where, grabbing drinks where.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know that's like I was trying to talk about, you know, like you said Goodreads and I said meme streams.
Yep.
It's like I would be so much more interested in, like, knowing about what books you guys read than about something I find randomly on the internet.
Right, yeah.
You know, and now you're applying the same thing is going on with what tracks should we see at the conference? That's amazing to me. That's really exciting. Is what I'm saying.
Right. It really is. It's very cool because, you know, before the cons, all I saw were, oh, I'm eating this and this. I'm bored. LOL. I'm like, you guys, what the heck? Come on. And then when the conferences started, when conference season started rolling around, it was a lot more interesting. And then, you know, if you're not able to attend a conference, people are tweeting quotes and information that they're getting during the presentations. It's very awesome.
Wow. But so basically, you got to, like, kind of be in it so that when the avalanche flows in.
Yeah.
I'm
right.
trying to rephrase it so I see if I understand. When it does become very active, you're in the right position to get the stuff you want, right?
Exactly.
Yeah? Okay.
And I guess that's the appeal, I mean, on a really larger scale, that's the appeal of social networking. It's kind of like when it's good, it really is good. You know, you meet old friends or you've made really good new friends who you talk to, like, a lot, or you're getting updates on, you know, whatever activities you want to get updates on. And that's the cool part of it. The stupid part is the, you know, the stupid advertising or the quizzes or, you know, just the spammers who get on there, I guess. Just like
right.
on the internet, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's the amazing... That's another thing, though, because I was interested in finding good podcasts. And so I'm trying to do that with Dig, right? And I actually found one that was specifically supposed to be for podcasts, but there's, I guess you would call it a critical mass.
Mm-hmm.
There's a point where one of these sites doesn't have enough people,
mm-hmm.
so that you can't get enough good action and find enough good feeds to follow. You know, because I wanted a small one, and it was just like, you know, you would get a new post every month, and it'd be like, I'm not, it's not worth my time. But like, of so many people are on Twitter, and so many people on MySpace and whatnot, all of a sudden it becomes very worthwhile because you have some variety to choose from. You know, it's that kind of critical mass there.
Yeah, that's a good point, because there's a point of, I don't know, it seems like when a social networking site gets, you know, too popular, it just starts to break down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, like Facebook and MySpace and Friendster before that. You know, all these little networking sites, I don't know if it's their fault or if it's the user's fault or both, but at a certain point, the fad passes and everyone moves on, or if the site, maybe it just got really bad and people have to move away from it.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to look at it as the system breaks down. May or may not be the right way of looking at it.
Well,
I mean,
not to interrupt you, I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead.
It could be very comparable to IRC networks even, or IRC channels.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a point where, you know, when it's a small group of people, or, you know, even a large group of people, but, you know, they respect each other and they're self-policing,
yeah.
It worked out beautifully. But then it deteriorates and you end up with something like 2600net.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
You know, I'm thinking like MySpace gets more, let's say as a hypothetical, MySpace gets more and more popular before there's any competitors. Then all of a sudden people say, oh, I'm getting too much garbage. A lot of people leave. All of a sudden,
right.
People who were really there for what they think were good are still there, aren't they? So isn't like a purification thing going on?
It could, yeah.
I mean, you could look at, like, you know, two sides of a coin, right?
But there's also a lot of inherent threats with using social networking sites as well,
that
a lot of people overlook.
What are the downsides?
Well, there's a lot of phishing scams. Like, I don't know if you've seen, I think it was Sean Moyer's talk at DEF CON last year. The video should be up. It's really interesting. Let me see if I can bring it up, the exact title. Yeah, he did a thing called Satan is on My Friends List, Attacking Social Networks.
Ah, cool.
It was very interesting. He went on a whole bunch about using arbitrary code, tag soup of client-side user-generated HTML. It was a very, very well-done talk done by Sean Moyer and Nathan Hamuel. If you guys have a chance to look at it, I definitely recommend it.
You know, what I really like having on my Firefox when I go on to these things is the NoScript plugin.
Yeah.
Are you guys unanimous?
Yes.
I mean, because you don't know what they're going to suck in.
Exactly.
And
they just arbitrarily copy and paste whatever they get from, you know, freemyspacelayouts.com or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
And I also find out that, and I haven't done this since I was a dial-up guy, I also like to turn off automatic image loading when I go on MySpace initially, if I'm really just browsing around MySpace.
I don't
turn off images.
Why do you do that? Is that a security thing, or you just mean that it's annoying?
Because the amount of images loaded.
Yeah.
I don't know if it happens on other things, or if it's just a MySpace phenomenon, but it can kill you.
I think it's just MySpace. I mean, people put just all kinds of ridiculous things on those pages.
Did you ever look through an image cache after going on MySpace?
Oh, it's kind of scary.
It's kind of scary, yeah. I mean, all of a sudden, you're like, did I visit something that had to do with this?
That's,
of course, one of my favorite things to do if I sit down at a friend's computer is find the image cache for their Firefox right away. You know, just look at that and see what's going on. Now, you know, there's a vulnerability I heard that, and I was listening to, Klaatu, you would have hated this one. It's called the Nasillacast.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Mac podcast.
Oh, boy.
And it's very commercial.
Oh, great.
I mean, she has advertisers. I mean, she has a great presentation, but it's all what software you can buy and whatnot. And I'm like, software buy?
Yeah.
You know, I use Linux. I don't get it, you know? But anyway, they were talking about tweets are limited to 140 characters. Mm-hmm. People often have to use the URL shorteners kind of websites, like the tiny
URL.
Right.
And they click on those things without knowing where they're going.
Yeah.
You know, that's you know, something we would never do with an email. We all were trained to stop doing that with emails, but it's coming back now.
You know, yeah, and there's even a way, like, if you use programs like TweetDeck, which filters and organizes your friends list tweets, there's no way that you can see where a link really goes to.
Yeah, I heard there was some plugin that did look it up before letting you go there and at least give you like a display on the bottom of your screen, but I didn't catch the name of it. And I think it was Safari specific, if I'm not mistaken.
No, there's another one. There's a website, and I don't know the name of it off the top of my head, but it does let you can paste in the tiny URL or whatever, and it will decode it for you or you know see where it points to or something like that. So that you actually can kind of figure out where you're going before
that's,
you go there.
That's like a service, like wasmyip.com. That's like a service web page.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I don't remember the name of the site, though.
I think Lifehacker featured something as well.
Probably, yeah.
Like a couple months ago.
There should be a plugin for Firefox that lets you, like, scope out the URL before...
That would be really cool, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be a good one.
You know, that's,
get on that, Deep Geek.
well, maybe I will. I don't know. Yeah, every once in a while, I go to the Hacker Public Radio thing, and I post an email called Whoosh List, and I give just fly-out topics I would like to see other people do, because I have my own tangent I'm on at the moment. And then I just include that, because Hacker Tools for Firefox might be a good one to have an HPR episode on.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the other one that someone was mentioning to me the other day, and I don't even know if you guys have any... experience with it. I don't, but it's called LinkedIn, and it's apparently like a professional MySpace, sort of.
Yeah, I think I have a LinkedIn account, too.
The Totenkopf is on every social networking site.
Yeah, holy smoke, Totenkopf. What's up with that?
I don't know. Well, I hear about him, so I sign up, and then I forget about him, and people are like, hey, Tote, I found you on here. I'm like, that's nice. I didn't even know I had one.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a requirement. If you use the web, you have to sign up for every new site that you hear about.
Oh.
Well, not only that, but I don't want anyone else signing up with Totenkopf.
Right.
It
yeah,
doesn't matter if, you know, I'm going to use it or not. I don't want anybody else walking around with my handle.
That is a good point, yeah.
I was so shocked to find that Deep Geek was taken on MySpace.
Really?
Yeah, I had to become Deeper Geek. But it was like, eventually the guy was one of my listeners, and like I sent him a friend request, and he wasn't logging in at the moment for whatever reason. And then I said, Talk Geek to me. I said, yeah, I found a guy on MySpace as my handle, and then he emailed me. And I was like, wow, so
that's
weird.
Pretty crazy, yeah.
But LinkedIn is pretty cool. It's a good way, you know, kind of like MySpace. Well, no, like original Facebook meets Career Builder. You post your resume up there, you find your buddies and connect with them, and then they put recommendations for you, and you put recommendations for them, so that if you're looking for a job, you can be like, oh, look at my LinkedIn, I know so-and-so. It's an easier way to name drop, basically.
Do people really go to social networking sites to find people to hire?
I don't know. I haven't heard of them.
You know, I don't know, but I mean, I did get a random call the other day on my cell phone from someone who apparently had found my resume on monster.com and was looking to hire. Unfortunately, I don't check my messages, but like once a month, so it was way overdue. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess some companies look at these kinds of...
Amazing.
I don't think I want to work for that kind of company, though.
it makes you wonder, because...
Yeah, probably right. I mean, that's why I wasn't too bummed that I missed the message.
All these sites have different kinds of reputations, and, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, if you're looking to hire people who are MySpace users, what does that say about the firm? MySpace has that reputation. I mean, I've heard one comparison where they said MySpace is like the ghetto version of Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it makes you wonder.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to be getting pretty desperate if they're going to MySpace and such.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even, you know, going back to what that PI said, I mean, posting your resume online.
Right.
I find that amazing. I really
do. I'm scared too, honestly.
I mean, talk about an identity thief's dream.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
You know, you could, like, you know, make the same resume, change an address, and, like, try to take someone over someone's ID. I've heard some people actually put their social security numbers around their resume.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, though.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good point, Deep Geek, actually. So, I mean, how much, in your MySpace experience, I mean, do you find a lot of people post, like, a lot about themselves on their MySpace, really? I mean,
Yeah?
It's scary what some of the information you get on MySpace. I remember when I was in high school. God, who's going to date me now? we were on a shared PDP 11.
Oh, wow.
And I love that system so much. And each school had its own project number. There's a pair of numbers you logged on with. And we would regularly scan for text files in the neighboring high schools with a low enough permission for us to read them.
Wow.
And then we got to a point where we were writing parodies of each other's schools, lowering the protection, and other people would read them in other high schools. And we would hear back about it through the teacher's aides, because the teacher's aides would often have kids in other high schools and be like, your file got out to Mepham, you know, or something like that, and be like, you know. It was hysterical to do, and it wasn't a unique idea because other people were looking to read them. What about parodies of MySpace? I heard of, I'm opening up a web browser right now. I heard there's something called My Dead Space, which was
really
nothing but MySpace pages of people who passed away, and I never even tried to access it before.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
No, it's coming up something that's not related to MySpace at all.
Yeah.
My Dead Space, okay.
Some spam page I just got.
Hmm.
Oh, My Death Space?
Possibly.
Welcome to mydeathspace.com.
Oh, that's what it's called, My Death Space.
Oh, there's cute little graphics of tombstones on here.
Oh, wow.
It's an archival site containing news articles, online obituaries, and other publicly available information. recently deceased MySpace.com members via our comment system. Ooh, Michael Jackson's at the top. How morbid.
On there and
David Carradine right under him. How bizarre is this?
That's pretty funny. Paul Newman's at the bottom.
Is he?
Yeah. This is pretty great.
Who's this skeleton with a horn in his mouth? You know, we talk about privacy and the information published on MySpace. Any of you guys ever read this book written by Johnny Long called Google Hacking?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think those kinds of techniques could be applied to MySpace, to Google?
Without a doubt.
Yeah? I wonder what you could get by mining MySpace with hacking techniques.
Yeah, really.
Oh. I try to see, you know, if Google could keep good track of people linking to MySpace pages from outside of MySpace. And there was some activity, but not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they filter or if they even index it, like they index the normal web. Any speculation?
No idea.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, the same way. I mean, they obviously index it. That's a good question. I would be interested in knowing that, too. I could see them actually, coming up with some kind of exceptional rule for that, just because it is so enormous. What about Second Life? Forgot about Second Life. You guys consider that social networking?
I've actually never used Second Life.
Used it briefly just to see what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid of it.
I don't know.
If that sounds ominous, but I mean, I lost maybe 6 or 7 years of my life to something called SimCity. And
SimCity.
And, you know, not only that, but I still have to keep SimCity on a QEMU image.
Wow.
Even though I haven't used it in so long, I still have to have it there.
You have to have it, sure.
Yeah, and I'm
sure.
Just, like, afraid that Second Life sounds like it's going to suck me in, you know?
Yeah. Well, it didn't suck me in by any means. It did strike me as a very MySpace-y kind of thing where you create your little online identity and you make friends, I guess. Like I said, I wasn't on it that long, wasn't really into it. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's the same idea. It's just that instead of surfing web pages, you're going to people's little lands or shops, looking around and talking to people. I think it's a form of social networking, but I think it's inconvenient enough so that it can't really catch on as much as something like MySpace, which, you know, in theory, you could check at school or work, whereas something like Second Life, I mean, you have to install a client, and you can't really play it off if the boss walks in and you're hanging out in Second Life.
Access from school. That's an interesting phrase you choose, Klaatu. Any musings on using these social networking sites as like a cloud computing kind of model, like keeping stuff there so that you can log into it from different places, or is that just ridiculous?
Well, I don't think it's ridiculous. I do think that the social networking sites are typically targeted for, you know, being blocked. So it kind of makes it almost a bad choice if you're going to be going into public places. I mean, I've seen stores that actually block MySpace and Facebook just because they don't want people standing on the computer, on the demo computers, checking their MySpace and their Facebook and all these other things. Obviously, people who know about the proxy servers will get there anyway, but at least for a lot of people, that's blocked. So I think that's sort of a bad choice for that kind of, for using it for that use. I don't know how much storage they really give you anyway, you know? I mean, it'd be hard to make good use of what any of these networking places would give you.
I was just clicking around my deathspace.com, and here's a story. It was in latest articles talking about information getting out. And the guy's name, his age, died in a motor vehicle accident in Kirkuk. And he's a soldier. And it tells how to get to their MySpace page, where he lived, the date he was alive. There's a lot of information out here. There's a scary amount of information out here. Well, I don't know, guys. You think we exhausted the topic?
Possibly. It's too bad not enough, you know, nobody else showed up.
Yeah, too bad.
Yeah.
Those punks.
I know.
But I think we certainly had quite an exchange at any rate.
Oh, yeah.
But talking tough, I kind of missed what your DEF CON talk was going to be on. I didn't hear what you said it was about. It's neurohacking.
Oh, yeah. I'm speaking about neurohacking, specifically using devices that you can create and program yourself to avoid getting the signs and symptoms of motion sickness.
Cool. Okay. And Deep Geek, what are you working on now? You're doing your podcast, Talk
yeah,
Geek to Me?
Developing Talk Geek to Me at talkgeektome.us. And, you know, just trying to beat back the real world so I can keep getting out 2 a month.
Right.
Our friend Enigma has graciously allowed me to, I came up with the idea of syndicating my old shows because mine go into Creative Commons after 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be starting next month.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, so if people want to get it, they can get it in different ways now, I guess. Doing a lot of research. I script my shows, you know, so it takes me time to do each one.
Okay, well, cool. Thanks, Totenkopf.
What's coming from Bad Apples, Klaatu?
Nothing, Deep Geek.
Nothing.
As usual.
Nothing. Fans want to know.
I know. No, actually, you know, I'm doing I do kind of a review-ish of Open Solaris. I lived in Open Solaris for about a week and a half.
That sounds good.
That was interesting. Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do, you know, kind of a how-to go to Slackware Current, just because I think I've been getting a lot of questions about, like, Slackware Current and Slackware and stuff like that. So
I've been trying to fool around and trying to get going with GNU, Debian GNU K-FreeBSD, FreeBSD, which is Debian with a FreeBSD kernel instead of a Linux kernel.
Wow.
So that's a really interesting project. I mean, just the concept of choose your architecture, choose your kernel, and choose your user space. Those guys get off the ground. That's going to be something else.
Yeah, that does sound cool, actually.
So, you know, fooling around with that.
Well, I want to do a little bit more research into the benefit of kernels and stuff like that. Totenkopf, what did you go to school for? Or did you go to school?
MIS, Management and Information Systems.
Okay, all right.
The one offered by the management group or the one offered by the computer department?
They're trying to be technical. But like it's weird. I'm actually finishing it up right now. They're offering a security focused path, but I'm sitting here and I'm face palming through most of them. I'm like, I have to sit there and correct someone on the definition of hacker at least 5 times a semester. I'm like, no, dear, that's a cracker. No, we're not all from China, I promise you. There's a place called DEF CON? Really? Tell me about it. I have no idea.
It's always fun to correct your computer science teachers.
Yeah, really. So how did you get into, how did you get into the whole studying for your DEF CON talk then? I would have, after you said what the topic was on, I would have almost thought you were, like, doing some kind of bioscience degree or something.
Well, I started off studying to be a forensic pathologist.
Oh, okay. So that's
wow.
But then I'm like, 8 years of school, huh? Playing with dead people the rest of my life, you say? less than 60 grand a year? No thanks. I literally grew up in an IT department, so after I thought about it, it just made more sense for me to go this way. So when I try to come up with project ideas, I try to think of things that, you know, help me involve technology and the biology stuff, so I don't think I wasted 4 or 5 years of my life.
It's very cool. I mean, it sounds like a really cool topic.
Beyond Rain actually does a whole bunch of stuff with neurohacking as well. She and her co-presenter created a video game, which is basically Space Invaders.
Mm-hmm.
And you make your own EKG machine, you know, the heart rate monitor. It's hooked up to your computer, and based on how fast your heartbeat is, that controls how fast the aliens come down in the game.
Oh, man. That's insane.
That's like, wild.
Yeah. It's like as you get more stressed, your heartbeat's picking up, but that's making it all worse because nothing's
right.
Oh, that's so brilliant. Wow. Well, cool. Okay, so thanks for coming on, guys. And
it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And everyone who is listening, thanks for listening. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.